Hey, Botters, welcome to episode 92 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. We're getting up towards episode 100.
Yay! Applause, 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 applause. Really crappy, corny applause. I need to start having the soundboard, like, available at all times. I keep forgetting to activate it.
By episode 100, we will have an actual soundboard.
I really got to program one and it'll be hilarious.
Yeah. I am back. I am sorry I was not in last episode. You know, in short, it was for the better that I did not record last episode, given what happened. I will not go into that. But I am back, and now we are past ACON. Now we're actually already preparing for our next convention.
Which is, for me, what, 2.5? Oh, crap, 2.5 months away. Oh, no.
Well, I mean, I don't even know when my next convention is. It depends on when I can get coverage from work. So hopefully it will be in October when I try and go to Texas Renaissance Festival.
Which is always a good time.
Yes. it's where I actually light things on fire, despite my reputation, for fun. And it's in a good way. It's not in a destructive way. And, you know, I get to go out and do my thing and wear my fancy Renaissance costumes, which I'm making a new one. And generally, hopefully, have a good time. Since that's the only con I go to throughout the entire year where I am not press. That is my actual vacation con. I do not work anything at TRF. I just go to enjoy myself.
We need to get pictures of the work that you've been doing, because your magical filigree with puffy paint is pretty flipping clean. Like, it's ridiculous how clean the lines are.
There will be pictures, because my costume is in pieces right now, so we're getting into cosplay updates early.
That's okay. That's totally fine.
I'm using Simplicity's Once Upon a Time style pattern, which is the overcoat, the trench coat kind of thing that you wear over pants. And so right now it's in pieces because you have to sew it in parts. So the bodice is hanging up right there, and the corset is in my crafting room so that it doesn't get damaged. I don't want things falling on my nice puffy paint filigree. The gauntlets are actually sitting right there on the counter where they were drying. And then the skirt portions I've started that are sitting on my table next to me.
Nice.
So I have bits and pieces of it everywhere. And I just want to say that cosplayers, whenever you select your fabric, be very, very wary of the pile and how it lies. Because I wanted suede, and I could not find hunter green suede anywhere for a reasonable, affordable price. So I ended up getting what is essentially very, very short pile upholstery velvet at Golden Door. It has kind of a similar appearance to the texture that I wanted, which all I cared about was the texture. And it didn't have that ugly white backing that you see on so many of the upholstery fabrics and the velvets. And so it feels very lovely. It's thin so that it breathes. It's sturdy. And I like the pile. Until I went to line it. And the lining kept slipping off the pile. It kept sliding down whenever I'd sew it on my machine, regardless of which side I had underneath the foot. And it's not something where you can put, you know, freezer paper underneath or parchment paper to keep it from sliding, because it wasn't sliding under the foot or the feed dogs. It was sliding off the pile on the top, which you can't really put parchment paper there. It doesn't work. So I keep having these really inaccurate sewing lines, which I'm really ashamed of. And my lining is absolutely terrible on this. All of my seams are nice and finished. I mean, you know, French seams flipped inside out, nice and stitched, clipped all my seams. I did what I was supposed to do, but just the leftovers on the lining, and it's puckered everywhere, and there's just bunching, and it's like, oh my god, this is just terrible line. I'm so glad it's on the inside, and I have to work with this. Even though I've pinned the crap out of it, I still have to work with this on every one of my skirt pieces, and every time I know it's gonna slide off the pile no matter what I do. It's just like, oh man.
Oh, so, be wary
of your fabric, kids. Because if you have really strong pile in your fabric, whatever you try and attach to it is going to kind of...
And it sounds just like that.
That's the sound I make as it slips further and further towards my floor as I'm sewing it. I've been doing a lot of sewing. I will have probably gone through 2 or 3 spools of black thread by this point. At least it's dark enough to where I don't have to switch thread colors. I can just use black for everything because it's a dark enough hunter green that you can't see it. So I will have gone through a lot of black thread by the time I'm done with this, since I still have to sew pants. And a giant, giant, like, full circle cape.
Nice.
But this was a lot of fabric. This was 10 yards of upholstery and then something like 15 yards of broadcloth for the lining. And then I had to get another 6 yards of knit for the undershirt and pants. So it's very heavy. It's a ton of fabric. Oh my God. I have no idea where I'm going to store this when I'm done either. But it'll look nice. And it'll be very, very warm. Which is why it's pretty much only going to be for TRF, which is in October, November. It'll help keep me warm because it gets very chilly down in South Texas.
And not for any other time of the year because it's going to be completely unreasonable to wear it in the summer.
Well, it does not have sleeves. It is a sleeveless trench coat. So because it is fully lined, if I wore it without a shirt, which I can do because it has adequate coverage, it would not be as bad. And if I wear it without the cape, then it's also not as bad. It has little epaulets to cover my upper arm so I don't get sunburned up there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cute. You guys will see pictures. That's pretty much all I have been working on. I went to Golden Door and I bought a little bit of fabric. Since they had their big sale, I bought enough to do my Kirara from Inuyasha. I'm going to do a ball gown version. Thank you, Dust Bunny, for the inspiration. And I ended up getting purple stretch fabric, which, for those who don't know, I do not like stretch fabric. I don't like working with it, and neither does my sewing machine. But this nice lady ahead of me in line, it was the perfect color, and she's like, here, you can have this. I just looked at it and thought it was pretty. I don't need it for anything. So she let me have it. The whole bolt. And it ended up being a little over 5 yards. So I'm either going to do Cecilia from Fire Emblem, or I will do Grand Magic Games, Daimato Enbu. Mm-hmm. Here's a Scarlet from Fairy Tale. It'll end up being one of those two. But that's all. I just paid $750 to fix an air conditioning problem that wasn't my fault and could not have been prevented by me. So that kind of ate into my cosplay budget. Priorities! Right.
Yay, being an adult!
Well, it's Texas and it's getting warm. I had to have AC because I was suffering without it. I went about 3 weeks without AC. It was not cool, guys.
I would have crawled to a corner and started crying. Even though I'm perpetually cold, I still kind of need AC at this time of year.
I am perpetually cold, but my house was getting up to 90 degrees on the inside.
Yeah.
And at that point, fans do not help you because all they do is they blow the hot air around. It's like having a hair dryer on you, turned on low at all times, because that's really what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
The fan does not help you any longer at that point. You guys should have seen my portable air conditioning rig I made. It was awesome.
Did you not take photos?
Crap out of it. No, I didn't take photos because it was embarrassing.
You MacGyver stuff and then you take photos and you show everybody, look at the cool thing that I did.
Remember, I hate taking progress pics for one. And there are pictures of this up on Instructables because I did this based on an Instructable. So there are pictures. If you look up, you know, portable AC, there are pictures of this. I still have to clean out the fountain pump that I used for this because I took apart a Walmart $10 water fountain and I ripped it apart so I could get at the pump inside, and I hooked it up to some aquarium tubing. I ran ice cold water through it and then I looped the tubing right in front of the fan so it would blow the cold toward me. I did whatever it took, man. It was 90 degrees in the house. It was just as hot in the house as it was outside the house, and there was no relief. I had to wait until it stopped raining with our monsoon season after a month before they could fix it because they had to cut a hole in my roof.
Should have taken
cosplay updates.
And for once, Amber went first. Yay!
Yeah. It was unintentional, but I went first.
You know, we just go with the flow of it. It happens. So my cosplay updates are going to be a little limited. I am in the process of getting things prepped for Dragon Con, which is like 2 and some odd months away now. Mostly it's just been me going through and cleaning out my closets and rearranging a bunch of stuff because now I've realized that I don't have space again. So I'm actually being a big girl. I'm being an adult and I have bought myself a bunch of garment bags. So I'm going to properly put my costumes in garment bags. And I'm going to throw away the things that I've only worn once and have zero use in ever wearing them again. I'm getting rid of shoes. I'm getting rid of props. I'm actually being an adult about things, which is kind of nice because I could use the space again. And I've basically spent, so other than that, I have been kind of fabric hunting for next year because I'm already planning some bigger projects. When you're starting to do a lot of these really big things with embroidery and with fancier fabrics, you need to start gathering them sooner rather than later, especially with some of the color choices that I'm using are more spring and summer colors. Really difficult to get those in the fall time. And I also don't want to pay an arm and a leg for it. So trying to buy up what I can when I can. I think the biggest thing that I have probably purchased over the weekend and all the sales is I'm a big girl. I got a pattern. Look at me. I'm growing up. And it's all for Game of Thrones, obviously, if you cannot tell. Very Game of Thronesy. So yeah, this is basically what my year is going to be next year. I'll probably get done with 2 costumes from Game of Thrones and be like, what the hell was I thinking?
This is not to say patterns are bad. This is simply to
No.
say that sometimes it's easier to start with a commercial pattern and then modify it to your needs.
Especially in this case, these were designed specifically from the show. Like the one that's listed here, right front and center, is exactly what I'm making, except just in a different color scheme. I just need to do a little bit of tweaking here and there to fit my body. And I was like, you know what? I'll save myself the trouble. Let me buy it. I'm going to make an attempt to read the pattern. I have been told the simplicity is one of the better ones to work with, so I'm going to give it a shot.
I will
You people
agree.
say, yeah, Amber has told me many times, and you people know that I'm not a pattern person. I make my own, so we shall see what happens with the mock-up.
The dresses are not that bad, especially because it's an easy dress. There's not any collar to it. There's nothing fancy with the sleeves. Those sorts of patterns tend to be very straightforward. It's only when you start getting into the collars and turning fabrics and having to do specialized sleeves like puffy sleeves, then the patterns tend to kind of go off into the middle of nowhere when it comes to their terminology. I mean, the pictures actually help more than the wording does.
Okay. Good to know.
But for those patterns are very, very straightforward.
Okay,
It's
cool.
pretty hard to screw them up.
Because really, the only other pattern that I've bought over the past few years has been the one for corsets, and that one was pretty cut and dry for me. I was just like, okay, bam, 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 done. That required very little thinking on my part.
Which also, if you guys, Potters, if you guys are looking for patterns for any specific character costumes from, say, television, movies, books, that sort of thing, Simplicity has been doing a lot of knockoffs lately. So if you're looking for something specific, I would start there. You know, Simplicity can't use the brand names, just like they can't label this pattern Game of Thrones pattern, even though we know that's what it's for. They have a Daenerys pattern too. Simplicity does. So it's a good place to start. And they're always coming out with new patterns, which we will be discussing later. They now have a Sailor Moon pattern.
They do. I kind of want to pick it up, even though it's totally inaccurate. I
I'm
saw
picking
the
it up.
seams. See, I saw the seams. They're not in the right spot. But whatever the character A is, it's like weird anime schoolgirl. That's actually really cute. Yeah, we'll talk about it later. I'm jumping the gun. But yeah, that's all I have for cosplay updates. Nothing special or fancy. I will show photos of the updated alpaca that's now taking its claim next to my Amidala headdress. It's very pretty, and it's more of Amber's fine puffy paintwork and very straight lines.
I used up all the scrap fun foam I had left that was in from the conference. It was awesome. And I used up a bunch of my scrap green fabric too.
I could tell. I was like, she was just trying to get rid of scraps. Good thinking. Good call.
It's an alpaca costume. It's not like I can go out and buy, silks for this sort of thing. Because it had to be quick and dirty. It had to be able to take a beating because it's a convention. It's like, great. I have hunter green broadcloth that is the right color. go for it.
It worked.
It worked.
Got a lot of compliments.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the photos to come back because there's a couple where I'm like hugging and giving it like penguin kisses.
And if you too would like to commission armor for your alpaca, contact me. One of these days I'm going to stop making people cosplay and I'm just going to start making alpaca cosplay.
It's a thing.
Not alpa cosplay, because that's somebody else, but I will be the alpaca armor.
I even bought myself an alpaca t-shirt. Oh, headache. I'm a sad individual, but it's really cool looking. He just looks at me like, oh, how cool. I love the fact that his smile is like slightly crooked. So it looks really cute straight on, but if you like tilt his head a little bit, it's like, hi, evil smile. Like he's thinking of something really bad to do.
Yeah.
Made infinitely more evil with the wings on his back.
Yes.
You did a fantastic job. Honestly, everybody could not stop squeeing at that stupid thing. I love it.
Yeah, I have had random people. They're like, take all my money. You should do this. It's like, I'm really sorry, guys, but that alpaca took me 2 weeks of time, free time, while I was not. In fact, I had to take it to work several times and work on it at work because that's how long it took me to do that. So they take more time than I'm willing to give right now for the cost that I could ask for it. Because if I had to price that out, that outfit, I would probably have to price at a loss at $100. So, you know, as much as I would like to do it, these are going to be one-off things for friends for right now. until I make a lot more money and can afford to take some extra time off.
I specials!
You know, I could probably do a couple of these for charity events, and that would probably cap my capacity.
That would be kind of cute.
So if your con would like me to make a special outfit for an alpaca for your charity event, contact me.
How funny would it be if we dressed up one of them like Goku from Dragon Ball Z, give him like a little fake wig and everything?
I cannot do wig work.
I'll do it.
I can make the costume for the alpaca. I'll even sit there and do the puffy paint logo on the training suit. Not a problem. But yeah, if I were to do this, you would actually have to send me the alpaca. Not yours, because I still have patterns for yours.
Yay.
But if it's a different size, then I have to physically have the alpaca, because I do make duct tape dummies of the alpaca. Or duct tape patterns of the alpaca. Otherwise, it doesn't fit.
Right, and that makes a difference, especially for certain things like this where it needs to kind of stay and not.
The plushie is a random size.
Mm-hmm.
There are no plushie patterns for this. You have to draft patterns for this.
Yeah.
So yes, I drafted armor patterns for this. That was awesome. The helm was
so cute.
It is
very awesome. It's awesome and adorable and evil looking. I love it.
I did take pics. I think I have one pic on my tablet somewhere of the alpaca wearing just the helm pattern with just the fun foam, and it looks like Finn from Adventure Time.
Aww!
I'll have to see if I have it somewhere. It's probably in my pictures somewhere, because it really does. It looks like a space helm. He's happy to see.
I think I need to do that now, because, yeah, the helmet is very Finn-like. I didn't even think about that.
The shape is very Finn-like.
Yeah.
And it's only...
that's adorable.
In fact, I think I cut the entire thing in one piece. It is a
one-piece
pattern, and you just fold it. And it's like Kamakura for alpacas. Now we have to have Iron Man alpaca.
Oh, my God. I need to make him a Thorpaca so I can carry him around as I'm Enchantress. That'd be fun. Thorpaca!
I already have the winged helmet pattern. Well, I guess we know what we're doing next year, don't we?
I'm okay with this. I will always wear Enchantress.
There will be Thorpaca next year.
Sweet. I will never throw away Enchantress. I love that one to pieces. That took me a long time. Okay, so we should probably move on.
I'm going to make him a little prop hammer that hangs from a little loop on the side of him.
Yay! Oh my goodness, yay. I love this.
Now I have to make props for alpacas, man.
So we've gone from costume to armor to props.
I've gone full circle. Moving on to thank you notes. This is your baby. You get to do the thank you notes.
I was just about to say, we're some very special individuals.
Even though I support this.
Yeah. Anyway, we at CosPod wanted to send a very, 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 very special, extra amazing special thank you to Jay Holder and Mike from Akon, the lovely, lovely staff members who have been very supportive of CosPod over the past few years. This year in particular, they've been incredibly helpful with us getting the unofficial shoot onto the guide and promoting us and getting us like out there for cosplay contest concerts. And it's just like, oh my goodness, we cannot thank you guys enough for everything that you've done for us. And we just hope that we can continue to live up to your expectations as press members. So from the bottom of our hearts, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We still love and adore Akon, and I highly doubt either one of us will ever say bad things about it.
I still wouldn't have said bad things this time because it wasn't Akon's fault that I
believed. No.
So it wasn't anything against the con. You know, we still love the staff. The staff have been really good to us over the years. So, I mean, yes, we're both going to be back next year, obviously, despite scheduling issues with Dallas Fan Expo.
That one's going to be a fun mess. Oh my goodness. But yes, anyway, a million times thank you to you two in particular, but just to the staff in general. We really appreciate everything you guys have done for us, and we're happy to help out, not just as fans, but as CosPod as well. So thank you.
Yep. I'll toss Lee Thompson's name in there as well as the press head.
I felt so bad for him over the weekend. He was just busting his butt off. I almost never saw him. But yeah, lots of hearts to you guys. We really appreciate it. Dorky smile.
All right. So cosplay in the news. There is all sorts of cosplay in the news.
Lots of stuff going on.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and go in order here. First things first, we have Cosplayful, and that's cause as in C-A-U-S-E. Yes, it is meant to be a play on cosplay. So cosplay is an effort between several professional cosplayers in an effort to raise money for the Nepal Youth Foundation, which for those who have not paid attention to the news, Nepal was hit by a series of really bad earthquakes, you know, within the last few months. And they've really had trouble getting aid to those who need it, whether it's due to infrastructure, you know, donation, bureaucracy, whatever. But they've had trouble getting help to the people that need it. So what these cosplayers did is that they donated items, whether it's props, accessories, costumes, clothing, cosplay prints, even artwork. If you go to the cosplay site, which we will link, you can either donate outright to the Nepal Youth Foundation. I don't know if it is tax deductible or not. You would need to look into that. But you can purchase items from their site, and the proceeds will also go towards the Nepal Youth Foundation. Now, this only runs until June 28th, so I will also post this on Facebook so that you guys are aware of it, since by the time you see this episode, basically it's going to be the day before. But you know, as always, we highly encourage charitable donations to appropriate charities once you've done your research. We always, always approve of things like this that go towards helping other people. So if you're interested, again, it's a Store Envy. It's cosplayshop.storeenvy.com, and we'll link.
Lots of linkies.
Yes. So that is cosplay. Cosplayful is a new cosplay store. It is an online store only, I believe. I don't think they have a physical store. But it's another store that basically sells pre-made costumes, you know, similar to Hello Cosplay and Mick Cosplay and pretty much all the other popular costume stores that you've seen online. So they'll sell your typical costumes. One difference that I've noticed is that they don't appear to be using the usual cosplay fabrics that you think of when you think of imports. It's not costume satin. I mean, these actually look decent in terms of the materials that they use. But the other thing that I wanted to note is that they will sell pre-styled character wigs for you. So if you have a particular character that you would like, they'll style the wig for you and then ship it to you, which is always a nice service for those of us that suck at styling wigs. And of course, their site is cosplayful. That's FUL.com. No, they're not sponsoring us to say any of this stuff. This is just me looking straight at their website. I will say that they are probably not the actual first cosplay store to use SSL encryption, but you know, they're welcome to say that. They also do have commission service, like a lot of cosplay stores do, to where you can tell them what you want to have made. Make sure, as with all import sites, that you're very cognizant of the measurements and the measurement system that they're using, whether they want it in imperial inches, whether they want it in metric, centimeters, meters, that sort of thing, and check their sizing. Please, for the love of all that is holy, check their sizing, because the sizing may not be the same as here in the States. And even here in the States, it's not consistent either. So the large that you have in your head may not be what they have as large, and you're going to order a costume that's two sizes too small or two sizes too big. So, you know, for your own sake, please check that first. I've seen too many people on forums go, I need to sell this costume because I ordered it and it's too small despite the measurements I gave them. Yeah, we generally want to avoid that.
Yeah, that seems to happen a lot.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, we do empathize, but this is why we tell people in advance, check first. You know, this is why they always tell you measure twice, cut once. Well, here, measure twice, submit once.
Or measure 20 times, submit once.
That may be a little bit overkill.
If you're paranoid like I am, yeah, you probably would do it.
I think I would draw the line at 5. After 5, it's like, okay, if I'm not sure at this point, I'm never going to be sure. Whether it's 10 or 20, it's not going to matter at that point.
You should see me when I'm making hotel reservations. I'm literally sitting there, like, checking the date at least 7 or 8 times to make sure I have the right date.
I actually need to do that for A&T. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome. Hey, I'm helping.
I can always cancel if I can't go to A&T.
Exactly.
But I'd rather have the room, just like for any other con. I'd always rather have the room, because there's no penalty to cancel, than to not have the room and then have to go begging for room space.
Exactly.
I have help I have to spend. Because they're now going to be at a Hilton.
And a very nice, much bigger location, too.
Yep, instead of where they were last year. They've moved hotels. All right, so next on the list, Ijen from Cosplay in America is going on another book tour. He has a new book out.
Not quite, it's actually, almost out.
Well, it will be when he goes on his book tour.
There you go.
He'll have copies that he can sell. But if you see him at a local con, we do invite you to support his endeavor, because he has really solid material in those books. I mean, we've actually been hands-on in the books. And he's very passionate about his work. And, you know, he's given us support in the past, promoting us, and so we'd like to return the favor. He is actually going to be at a few major conventions and a few minor conventions. I know he's going to be at Denver Zine, short for magazine. Denver Zine Convention. I believe it's this weekend.
I think so.
If you happen to see him, please do, you know, say hello, take a look at his books, do consider purchasing them, because that's how he finances his ability to go around to conventions and take the photos that he does to put in the books. And they're coffee table style books.
Yeah.
To where you can just browse.
This one in particular, because I was actually a Kickstarter funder on this one, so I'm getting one of the collector's edition books. This one focuses on not just the final product of the cosplay, but people as they're working on their costumes. And so he's got a little bit more text on this. There's a little bit more of a journey, but just the way everything is laid out, it seems so much more crisp and clearer than his first book. And his first book was really, really good. I love the imagery in that one, but this one is so much stronger. And I think you'll find yourself getting a personal attachment to the cosplayers in there. So I'm really excited to get it. I can't wait to get my book. My hope is, supposedly I'll be getting this fairly soon. I want to take it with me to Dragon Con and get the people who are in the book to actually start signing their pages. That'll be fun. I'm excited. Exactly. And I know so many of the people in there already. I'm just like, oh, I know this person and this one. So I'm like, yeah, it shouldn't be difficult. Most of them are going to Dragon Con, so it'll be perfect.
Yeah, I met famous people at this last con, and I was like, I know famous people now. I didn't fangirl out because I'm not the kind of person that does. But it was just like, wow, I'm in a room with famous people. That's kind of cool. I don't consider myself famous. I
Internet
mean,
fame.
I have, yeah, I have a web show, but in the cosplay world, I am not famous.
Yeah, I
And
just look
maybe
at
that's
it.
what
I just look at it as like they're normal everyday people. Most of them, like one of them is a sister of a friend of mine, and that's like I know you, and like one of my roommates is knows Lee very, very well, so I got to see Lee constantly throughout the weekend. She needed hairpins, I gave her hairpins. I was like, Lee's using my hairpins. I was like, here you go. But inside I'm like, oh my God.
And even we get that way when we meet famous people.
Oh yeah.
It's
You
like,
have those
yeah,
moments.
I sat in a room literally sitting next to these judges for 4 hours and we chatted. I got to chat with famous people. All right, so Cosplay Boom, update on their Patreon. Unfortunately, they did not make their goal in time. However, they are continuing production. So, silver lining, yay. Now, this is not to say that you cannot still donate to Cosplay Boom to support their efforts. You still can, I believe. I think you can still even do it through Patreon, and if not, I think they've got other ways that you can do it. But please do consider contributing to them because their documentaries, if you have not seen them, they are themed documentaries on cosplay of a particular type. And they go behind the scenes, they show, you know, the making of, and they show the passion that these guys have for the art. And they do a really, really good job with these documentaries. You know, I could not do that myself, and I give props to them for doing it. Most of the money that they raise actually goes, like Ijen, towards funding their ability to go to conventions and actually do the filming that they need to do to produce these, because producing films, as I'm sure you can attest, is not a walk in the park.
It's not cheap either. It is very, very expensive.
So we completely endorse them. Go ahead, go watch a few of their documentaries. They are always free to watch. Those who pay get separate perks, but you can always watch their documentaries. And then if you do decide that you want to support them, you know, with $5, $10, whatever you can afford, then head over to their Patreon page and take a look at donating to them. Good stuff. All right, last bit of cosplay in the news.
Yay.
McCall has heard our pleas as cosplayers because they now actually have a page called cosplay.mccall.com and it is for cosplayers. They actually have a list of patterns specifically that can be used for cosplay. They have a blog. They have tutorials on their site by their talented seamstresses. And of course, they're coming out with new patterns perpetually that are always of help to cosplayers. So they have heard us. They are now catering to us as cosplayers. Simplicity just came out with a new Sailor Moon pattern, which, despite the inaccurate seams, they have a Sailor Moon pattern. And Andrea Hsu, who did the pattern, actually wrote a blog post on how it is assembled,
I saw that. I
which,
was reading that.
if you ever want the behind the scenes on how commercial patterns are made, this is a great example. It's someone on their drafting table literally drafting a pattern and then figuring out how the lining goes, how the facing goes, whether it has to be interfaced, what kind of notions that need to be used, like elastics or snaps, how it's supposed to assemble. I mean, there's a process to this, and it's really cool to read. And it's been all over Facebook at this point. We can post it on ours as well. But I find it really helpful that they finally know their demographic, because it's pretty rare to find people that just sew their own clothes nowadays and just go out and buy patterns for the heck of it. Most of the people who are buying their patterns are probably costumers. Or people who make costumes for others, commissioners. They finally realized what their demographic is, and now we get the attention that we need. I am so happy.
Oh. It's really cool. It's nifty to see, especially for someone like me who tends to make her own patterns. I still want to buy the Yaya Han pattern. I still want to actually get it in my hand and make it happen. Now that I know what's next month. Yeah, exactly. And you can actually get it pre-ordered in a couple of locations. So I'm just like, oh my goodness, there's stuff out there that I could actually buy. They're hitting a demographic that I think most people don't think about, because you think about crafts and sewing and it's like, oh, it's women who are, you know, maybe in their late 40s, retired. They have some disposable income. Some of them don't, but you know, they tend to make things on their own. Sure. They don't realize that our particular generation and those who are coming before us or and after us are becoming more craftsy. So much of us are focusing on using our hands and building our own things that we're becoming the new target demo with excess cash to spend. It's smart of them to finally realize that. And it's not just, you know, oh, cosplay is just a thing. But, you know, you think of us and you think of the people who are making costumes and the theater dorks and the film dorks and the TV dorks in school, because I used to be all of those people. I still am all those people. I mean, you don't realize how often we went to the craft store to get things for film sets. So yeah, it's kind of cool to see. I'm glad the world is growing up with us.
Yes, and they're coming out with more patterns that are useful to cosplay specifically. I mean, even notwithstanding the usual simplicity knockoffs of the more famous costumes, they're still coming out with things like corset patterns, accessory patterns for things like gloves and hats, and even carry bags, because you have to have something to carry your items around when you're at a convention. They've even got Butterick now has a historical line where you can make your own shoes. So they've got all of these new patterns that are now catering to their primary demographic, costumers. Mm-hmm. Whether it's historical, LARP, video game, television show, movie, doesn't matter. Their patterns are definitely skewing toward us, and I cannot complain.
No complaints here.
So check out cosplay.mccall.com. Simplicity doesn't have a specific cosplay site up, but it would not surprise me if within the next several months that they had one.
Yeah, once they see McCall is doing.
Yes, because that spread like wildfire. And a lot of people are going to be buying McCall now.
Oh, yeah.
visiting that blog, too, because their tutorials are actually pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that brings an end to cosplay in the news. We do have one other quick announcement. This has nothing to do with the news. And we did mention it earlier in the show. We are approaching our 100th episode. Now, granted, because we put out every 2 weeks, the 100th episode is scheduled to drop the weekend of October 16th through 18th, whenever it happens to happen during that weekend. So that said, what I thought it would be awesome to do is two things for this episode, since it's a pretty big milestone for us in our fourth year. The first is that if you guys want to see any special segments on that show that you would probably not see on any other show, so if there's any really big interviews that you think you would like to see, any techniques, demos, group discussions, if there are any special things that you guys want to see on that show that are feasible for us to do, then please do let us know, because we will seriously consider doing it. So if you want us to interview Reika, we can try and do that. If you want us to, you know, talk to the convention heads of Anime Expo, we can try and do that. We can't promise that we'll be able to get everything in, but if it's feasible, we will try. Because, you know, like I said, this is a big milestone for us. This is going to be a special show. The other thing is that I have heard this on other podcasts. Whenever you hit a milestone in podcastery, it is tradition for, you know, audience members, listeners, fellow podcasts to send congratulatory messages. You know, say, hey, congrats on your 100th episode. May you have many more. It's kind of the equivalent of happy birthday for a podcast. So I thought it would be neat if we could do something like that, so that if you guys were interested as podders, you can do audio or video, so you don't have to show yourself on film if you don't want to. But if you do audio, please do send us some sort of photograph to overlay, whether it's you know, a cute plushie that you like, or a costume that you've been in, or something we can play over, put over the audio so that there's something there. But we would like you guys, as listeners, as fellow podcasters, you know, as cosplayers, if you guys would like to send us any sort of message, you can say whatever you want, as long as it's family friendly. We would love to play them on the show so that you guys can hear them and you guys can, you know, see the diversity of you, the Potters, our Potter Nation. And you can do this at home. You can do it at a convention. You know, if you want to go to a panel and get a giant room of people to say happy 100th CosPod, go for it. That would be really cool.
That would be really awesome.
If you want to go to a beautiful remote location, like if you're having a photo shoot at a castle, because there are castles in Texas, oddly enough, if you want to go out there and just film a short little 2-minute, hey, you know, we've been listening for 2 years, we really enjoy your show, you know, we hope you keep going. That would be really cool too. Or if you happen to be, you know, with a celebrity and you can get the celebrity to say happy 100th CosPod, that would be cool too. And any of the above, whatever creative thing you guys want to do, we want you guys to send us in your audio and video messages, whatever you want to say for our 100th. Please do this within the next 3 months. Basically, we need all entries in by October 1st. And the reason for that is so that we have time to process them. You know, we have to make sure that they're family friendly. We have to make sure they're in a format we can play on a show in case we need to change format. And then we need to actually put the show together. Since it's a big show, it may take us a little longer than normal to put together a show. So please have those in by October 1st. You can send them to our email address, which is simply podcast@cospod.org. And we will take care of the rest. So get those submissions in by October 1st. Whatever you want to say for our 100th episode, family friendly.
Underscore family friendly.
Well, because otherwise then we have to censor it. And it takes time for us to censor it. And I'd really rather not us have to edit your message. So if it's family friendly in the first place, then we don't have to censor.
I have a good idea. Somebody wants to take the time to do this. Have a montage of either fire or explosions. That's a good way to say thank you to us.
Hey, if you want to go to a Renaissance festival where they have fire breathers, if you want to do that and say happy 100th, or if you go to a very safe place where there is not a burn ban and you do this with the utmost safety, you can actually write happy 100th CosPod and have it lit on fire, which I have seen done at Renaissance festivals where they write the text in flammable fluid, usually alcohol-based, and then they light it. Safety first. For the love of all that is holy, safety first if you have to do something like this. Go to Burning Man and do it.
I was just thinking animation, or, you know, doing what I did and just going...
If you want to animate it, go for it.
Much safer that way.
Whatever creative things you guys want to come up with, I'm not going to restrain it as long as you are safe and it is family friendly. Now that we've given them all of the ideas in the world.
Right? Better see our email box fill out or we're going to be very disappointed.
Dude, WCS. Go to WCS and get all the competitors together to say happy 100th CosPod. If you go to WCS, have them say that. That would be awesome.
That would be really awesome.
Now that we have gone for 50 minutes just with random tangential topics.
Hey, it's been a while since we've been together, so it's okay.
I have to like switch positions in my chair now.
This is like after session time that we kind of went a little early on that. But that's okay. We'll roll with it.
That's all right. So I feel like I'm talking a lot this episode. It's probably because I wasn't here last episode.
Yeah, you're making up for it. It's okay. It's all good.
So on the forums lately, which the forums is lovingly what I call the Acon Facebook. On the forums, somebody had mentioned that they were having a lot of trouble with their first costume. They had made several mistakes and that they were getting very frustrated. And so they had prompted on Facebook, it's like, So whenever you guys made your first costume, did you ever get frustrated with it and how did you deal with it? Because basically this person wanted to give up. So I thought it would be neat if we talked about our first cosplay experiences, not in a general sense, but in a very specific sense, just so that you guys would kind of understand that everybody does this. We all get to go through this. So that said, I will let you start with your first cosplay. What was your first cosplay and what was your experience with it?
Well, I'm trying to think of, do I want to count the Halloween costume because that was technically my first cosplay?
Whatever you want to consider it.
I think let me go with my actual first convention costume because I think that one is probably one where I learned the most and I made the most mistakes on it. That would have been Misato from Evangelion, which I love her to bits and pieces. This is my actual, probably my second costume that I've made. The first one I wore out to a convention, I wore it to Akon. I think it was like my third year there or something. And cosplay was still a pretty new thing to me. I knew it existed. I was like, there are all these people who are running around dressed as these anime characters. That's so cool. And I asked them, where'd you buy it? And they're like, oh, I made it because this was at a time in the long, long ago where cosplay shops really didn't exist. So we kind of had to make our own stuff. And I had to kind of figure it all out. And I had bought a $10 Shark sewing machine from Target that really could only do like three stitches. In reality, those three stitches was one straight stitch and it had only one setting, which was fast. So I had to a lot of fun experiences with trying to get that thing to work properly. And I only used cotton, so I was being smart about it. I was like, okay, I'm going to pick the cheapest, easiest fabric to work with, so that way if the machine gunks it up, it's okay. I can always buy more. And it was also when I decided that applique was a bad idea and I should just use heat and bond for everything. That was terrible, terrible, terrible idea because, yeah, my beret looked like a giant mess. It looked like a porcupine was sitting on my head. Particularly when you could see the ends of the heat and bond sticking out. I have no idea how that happened because with Misato, she has a red beret that has like a symbol in yellow and black on it. Somehow the heat and bond managed to escape the fabric and was standing up on its own. So like the yellow symbol is slightly falling off my hat, but you could see the heat and bond pretty well. Yeah, that was lovely. I think with me, my biggest thing with that costume was I didn't understand my body size well enough. So I oversized the entire thing and never took it in, except for the skirt. Somehow the skirt portion of the dress, I made it really, really tight. So I couldn't really sit down. I couldn't really walk. I had to cut a slit in the back so I could walk around properly. And as the day went on, it started unraveling higher and higher and higher to a point where it might have been a little obscene. And the coat was just horrible because, again, I oversized it. I didn't think about my body shape. Nothing was tailored properly. So I looked like I was wearing a trench coat on the top half of my body and then a really tiny pencil skirt on the bottom half of my body. And yeah, I chunked that thing immediately. I also did not know anything about wigs. Wigs were a complete mystery to me. So I used my natural hair. For those who don't know, Misato has like this purple brown hair color. I was the total opposite. So I had no one take my picture of me. I took photos of everybody else. I was a complete and total goober, and I honestly thought that I would never do that ever, ever again. But having done all that mess and having wanted to like go to a corner and cry because I was like, this thing is terrible. What the hell was I thinking? I met other Evangelion cosplayers while I was there, and they all absolutely loved my outfit. I hated my costume. I thought it was absolute crap. They adored it. They wanted to talk to me about Evangelion. They wanted to talk to me about other anime shows and about video games. And I was like, okay, so maybe it's not all that bad. I could do better next time. And they started telling me about their cosplay stories and how they got started with it. Because Evangelion costumes are not easy when you start working on the plug suits and stuff. That stuff is hard. And I want to make one of those. But hearing their stories and how much they love cosplay and how much they had trouble with their costumes, I didn't feel so bad. And I was like, you know what? If they got better, then I can get better. And I think that's probably the most important lesson is that when you make your first costume, you're going to make a butt ton of mistakes and you're going to hate every second of it. And you're going to think that this thing is absolute crap, even after you wear it. But you'll find people out there who like your work, who respect your work, and who will push you to try harder. And I think that's the key thing. So yeah, there's my experience. Man, that thing was a train wreck. I cannot believe I wore that stupid thing. Like, my first costume was the Red Mage Artifact Armor from Final Fantasy XI, which was a dumb idea. I still have the coat in my closet, because I actually made it pretty darn well with that $10 shark sewing machine. That one was way better than this. Misato is so easy. It's just a short dress and a jacket and a beret. It is an easy costume. I looked like a tent. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. It just looked so horrible. And I've learned my lesson never to use cotton again for that type of outfit. It needs to be appropriate. Cotton was not appropriate. Oh yeah, I heat and bonded the sleeves too. I got tired of sewing, but I was having the worst, because it's a sleeveless dress, I was having the worst trouble getting the sleeves to work appropriately. There needed to be white piping around it, so I did heat and bond on the white piping, so the heat and bond was poking at my armpit the entire day. Cosplay is really hard. Really, really hard. Amber's laughing at me because she gets it. I'm sure she was not too happy with her first costume, too.
Actually, I was the opposite. I did really well with my first costume.
And see, no. I was in this false sense of security because I've been sewing since I was 10 years old. And here I am, like, 25. I'm like, I can easily make this stuff. I know what I'm doing. And I knew what I was doing. But I think the fact that I hadn't made a full outfit before and the really crappy sewing machine combo together just didn't work out in my favor.
See, the reason I got lucky when I did my very first costume, which was Deedlit from Record of Lodoss War, is the pattern I got was the right shape and the right proportions to fit my body at the time. Mm. I did not have to tailor it. There were no sleeves. There was nothing fancy about the costume, and sewing snaps was not difficult. The armor was actually not hard because it was fabric over craft foam, and it was a single plane. It was 2D. It was not compound curves. So I got lucky in that basically I had been sewing long enough that sewing a simple tunic was not hard. And sewing arm wraps and leg wraps using elastic was not hard. What I didn't know at the time were the little things like hemming, which I did not do. And it frayed like an MFer because it was broadcloth, and I did not know that. I did not know a broadcloth frays like an MFer. Likewise with the arm and leg wraps, I did not hem those either. They were not broadcloth. I think they were poplin. They were something similar to poplin if they were not. But they also frayed like an MFer everywhere. And so I was constantly having to rip threads off because I didn't have scissors on me on the confloor. I know the first time I wore it, I forgot my belts. And I will say that was actually probably the one thing that I was terrible at and that I'm still not necessarily great at, but I'm a lot better at it than I was. Is making belting or strapping. Because most of the time, if you can't get your hands on real leather, most people will turn to vinyl or pleather. And one, it has a nasty white backing that at the time I didn't cover up. So it had nasty white backing that you could see since I had two belt loops that dropped and hung at my sides. And you could see the backing, which was nasty, but I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't do a bad job. I was okay at it, and they weren't fraying. But I didn't know to make them look nice. And I used brads as my rivets, which was awesome, because I didn't actually have to rivet it. I used poster board for the metal bits, which I didn't know at the time about things like styrene and thermoplastics, because those weren't out when I first started cosplaying. So it ended up looking all cracked and wrinkled and terrible at the end of the con due to bending, which poster board really cracks hard, even painted, if you did not secure it first with something like fiberglass. And I did not know about fiberglass at that point. I think I was about 16 at the time. Yeah. So I bought a really crappy wig off of eBay because I didn't know anything about wigs either. They didn't have things like Costworks or Epic Cosplay at this point either. It was pretty much eBay at that point. So I had a wig. I used a Renaissance circlet because I didn't really know how to make props at that point. So I used what I had on hand. There are still pictures of me in said Deedlit costume. I wore my glasses in every picture except one because I didn't think to take my glasses off for the picture for accuracy reasons. So I looked like a noob, like a dork. And I don't say this in a derogative sense. I say this in the sense that I was so new to the hobby that I didn't think about how I would look in photos. I was just like, I'm wearing a costume. People want to actually take photos of me, because back then the demographic was young enough that people knew what Record of Lodoss War was. They knew who I was. They knew to take, they wanted to take my picture because they knew who the character was. Now, nowadays, not quite so much, because the next generation is young enough that many of them haven't seen or even heard of Record of Lodoss War. Mostly people who are my age. But so I didn't do badly. Just at that point, I had been sewing long enough that what I chose as my first project was not difficult. And even hand sewing all the embellishments was not difficult. I just didn't know about the little things that can really make or break a costume. And now that I'm older and have been doing this for 14 years, 15 years, now it's the little things that really kind of bug me about my own costume making, is that I recognize all these little things. I recognize the shortcuts that I've been taking for years and that I still sometimes take, and it bugs the crap out of me. And then I want to sit there and I want to just trash the whole thing and redo it because I know about the mistakes and I know that I can fix them if I just redo it. Mm-hmm. So it's more that I'm learning about making nice things than I am about the actual technical art of making cosplay. I kind of had that in the bag, but I didn't know about all the little things. And now I'm really getting into the little things.
And it's those little things that can really make or break your costume and your character. It's just those extra little details that people don't think about, that it's like, oh, this helps bring the character to life now. That's what brings the cosplay element into it.
I didn't know you had to iron your costume.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
I did! I've been ironing since day one on my costumes. Yay!
The one my thing I tunic got right. Was okay. My cape in the one picture that I have left of that costume from back in the day, my one picture shows my unironed cape. It's terrible. Oh. Which, and I have it held open too, which is how I noticed it wasn't ironed.
Of course.
I didn't know about posing back then. I was just sitting there going, what the hell am I supposed to do? You want to take a picture of me? I didn't know about the whole have three poses thing, or, you know, go watch your character to see what kind of person they are. Like, I never really got into the play part of cosplay. I was always a costumer. And I still consider myself a costumer and not a cosplayer, because I suck at acting. I don't get into character at all, even after watching this series. I just don't. I'm a really heavy introvert. So I'm a costumer. I wear a costume. I don't get into character.
I get into character on stage and on photos. That's when I do my best. But yeah, even back then, though, I mean, I know that you've been doing this much longer than I have, but even when I was starting, this whole, like, three poses rule and these cos famous people, it just didn't really exist. I mean, the idea of us having wig shops in this country is still fairly young. That's only been a couple of years now. So everything was online and through eBay. eBay was our source for everything and anything. It's only now can we get a couple of things from Amazon. So, I mean,
and they were usually imports.
Mm-hmm.
Or people would use crappy wigs from Party City.
Exactly.
Which, you know, I'm not putting down using a wig from Party City in general. In a pinch, you can do that. The problem is quality. You can pretty much only wear a Party City wig once, and then once it tangles and you try and detangle it, those wigs are not made to detangle like professional wigs are now from, say, Epic Cosplay, Arda, and Figgery. Those are professionally made wigs that are meant to be worn multiple times. Party City wigs are pretty much meant to be worn to a party, and then you're done. that's why I say that in the way that I do. You can still use them, just be aware of quality. Yeah, quality was something else that I really didn't know much about when I was first starting.
Most of us really didn't, because I mean, even now that I think about it,
I was on a budget. I was 16. I had a 16-year-old's allowance. Actually, no, I didn't have an allowance. I haven't had an allowance since I was 11. I had a 16-year-old's income from working part-time.
There you go. That sounds much more accurate. So it was like our options are what? Okay, so we got cotton and broadcloth. And more broadcloth. Sweet!
Pretty much broadcloth. Plus, I mean, even now, broadcloth probably has the greatest availability of colors if you're not going to dye your fabric yourself. So at that point, if you need something that's ready color made, broadcloth is pretty much your go-to.
Right?
there is nothing else that comes in that variety of colors, and it's because broadcloth is used for quilting. That's why.
So easy and convenient.
I know. I still use it on occasion. I mean, I have still made significant portions of my cosplay from broadcloth when I'm in a pinch. And it's usually for costumes that I know I'm only going to wear maybe 2 or 3 times.
Right.
Because then I end up taking them apart and using the components for something else. Because broadcloth wrinkles like an MFer.
Oh, man. It's just crud on top of crud. That's why so many people use it as lining. I think it's so funny when you hear like the quote unquote cause famous people talk about broadcloth as lining. And I'm like, yeah, no one's really going to see the lining. You're the only one's going to feel it, but it's there and it helps.
It works great if you're doing fabric over foam for armor. It really does.
Yeah.
Hot glue that sucker and you're done. All right.
Yes. I point to the alpaca that nobody can see.
The alpaca. there are pictures of the alpaca floating around already.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The alpaca's everywhere.
All right, so briefly, since we've already gone over an hour, we still have one more segment. We have Cos Philosophy.
I know, right?
On cosplay break rooms and photo rooms, which are also a new thing in the cosplay world. These have not been around for very long. Cosplay break rooms are rooms where you can go in, basically kind of take a load off. Photography is not allowed. There are usually mending supplies inside so that if you have cosplay emergencies, you can fix them on the fly. Occasionally they are staffed, and if they are staffed, the person staffing it usually has at least working knowledge of sewing so that they can help you out. And there's also usually, if not snacks, then there's water at the very least in that room so that you can hydrate as a cosplayer. Photo rooms are rooms that have been set up either with specialized backdrops or props so that you can do basically a mini photo shoot in that area. It may not even be a room. It may just be a setup somewhere. These are not green screens, by the way. We're not talking about those kind of photo shoots. We're talking about full-on backdrops, you know, miniature classroom setups, miniature tea room setups. Basically, this is what they do at Anime Expo, where they have little booths that are set up in different themes where you can go and, you know, have a slot for a photo shoot. And they can be of really big benefit to a convention. They can also cost quite a bit.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, and that's why so many people aren't jumping in on doing these photo session theories. It's a great idea if you're a large enough convention and you have the ability to afford this, because this is not cheap to get not only the backdrops, but the props and the supplies and the space, because that's space that could be used for a vendor. That's space that somebody could be paying to sell stuff that you get, you know, some profits off of. This is space that they have to pay for out of their own budget. And it's like, well, if you're a convention, even like an Acon size, it's like, is this really worth the cost? Do we get any extra benefit out of doing this, or can we use this space for a vendor?
Break rooms are making a bigger impact because they are relatively inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
All you need is a room. And generally the mending supplies come in as donations, because there are so many cosplayers that have spares
right
that they're willing to donate. usually you don't get those back at the end of the convention. They end up going into the convention pool of supplies that come back next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so they reuse the supplies. So the break rooms are inexpensive to run. I really think they are a big boon, not just because cosplayers can go in and take a load off outside of the realm of photography, because there are photographers who will take pictures of you pretty much whenever, whether you like it or not. You know, if you're sitting down trying to take a break, if you're eating, if you're on the phone, there are photographers or other people that will take pictures of you anyway. Cosplay break room. Cosplay. It's a way of getting away from that.
Right.
Having a room where they can't go. And they don't even allow you to stand at the door and take pictures. They will shoo you away. So there is that for one. But for two, cosplay emergencies happen anywhere. Even to the best of us, whether you like it or not, somebody could spill Coke on you on accident. You know, somebody could have a sharp edge on a prop that they didn't buff off and it tears a hole in one of your seams, even though you have, you know, perfectly sewn costume. I mean, it could be you went outside and it suddenly started raining and your paint wasn't sealed against water, so your paint suddenly starts to run. You know, it can happen anywhere at any time to anybody. So having those supplies can really be a godsend if you basically need to hold it together long enough for you to get to your room and actually sit down and fix it. Now, this is assuming that you have said supplies to fix it in your room, which hopefully you do. That's why we advocate emergency repair kits of your own. This is if something happens on the floor, on the convention floor, where you're not carrying your kit and you basically just need a really quick fix. There were people at Akon, I think, what was it posted? One of the helpers was helping people stitch crotch seams that had popped open. It's not something you want to have happen at a convention to you.
No.
And it's not like most people I know don't carry a needle and thread on the floor. Or scissors, for that matter. So cosplay repair rooms are very good for that sort of, you know, embarrassing cosplay emergency. It's not something you want people to have photos of. Because it will go on Reddit, it will go on 4chan, and you will be made a laughingstock of the community.
So not by us, but by everybody else who's a jerk butt and will laugh at you.
Yes. So that said, I think cosplay break rooms are a great idea. It doesn't even really have to be limited to cosplayers, to be honest. If you just had a break room that just happened to have cosplay supplies in it as well, go for it. I mean, it's almost to the point where it's a con hospitality suite combined with a cosplay repair station, which I know a lot of cons have cosplay repair stations either in the artist alley or dealer's rooms. The problem with those is that if you have a repair to make with a costume that's on your body, there's no privacy. I mean, like with the crotch repair, you don't want somebody doing that out in the middle of the dealer's den.
As I say, and you still are open to photographers taking your photos or random pedestrians taking your pictures while you're trying to fix something. And it's
or
like
people bumping into you while you're having the repair done.
Yeah, I've had that happen before with friends. Yeah.
So you want to do it in a closed off room that is limited entry where you can get repairs done and not have to worry about that sort of thing. So have it in a separate room, definitely. But if they want to combine it with a hospitality suite and just make it a general break room, it'll save you money. Now, granted, then you'd have to stock it with snacks.
But it seems like more conventions are starting to realize that this is stuff that cosplayers are asking for that we will actually utilize, and we're eternally grateful for it. So I see it happening more and more often. As for the photo stuff, that's still a long ways off. I don't expect every convention to do that because I know that's a huge cost.
That I agree with. And also I think that if cosplayers want to make their own photo drop areas, that if you had theater friends or if you had artistically inclined friends get together, you could probably paint a backdrop in less than a week. Or failing that, if you wanted to get some friends together and pool money together, you can simply have a large poster printed up at FedEx Kinko's and have them printed in high def and just, you know, get a large, what they call an architecture roll.
Mm-hmm.
Just get that size paper. And you can get a projector stand for pretty cheap from office supply stores that you can just hang it from. Or even a projector stand if you want to go to the electronic stores. So that isn't difficult. And with some hotels, you can kind of work with them because they may have some supplies on hand. Like, for example, I know the Hilton Anatole has classroom settings so that you could borrow that, you know, for a photo shoot. Or if a hotel happens to have a classroom setting with desks, then you could say, hey, you know, can I borrow two of these desks so that we can put it in front of a backdrop and do a really quick photo shoot and then put them back when you're done. So generally, you can try and work with what you have. And if you have a local theater department, sometimes they can actually donate supplies too, because they may have some of these supplies on hand. You know, little props like a tree or a lamppost or just little things that will help the ambiance so it doesn't look like you just pulled off a green screen. Because green screens have a very 2D look to them, whereas these photo prop areas are 3D because they actually have props sitting in front of a backdrop. So while it is neat, I don't think many cons will pick up on it. And even if some of them do, they'll only pick up one or two. It doesn't necessarily have to be in its own room. It doesn't have to be in Dealer's Den or Artist Alley. They could probably just pick a corner of the hotel for it, to be honest. So I don't think it would take up much space. It's just a matter of it would have to be manned. There'd have to be somebody watching over them to make sure said supplies didn't disappear, because they will. And then basically getting enough people to use them to merit the cost of having to set them up.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you had a decent variety, like maybe say 3 to 4 of the most popular ones, like say classroom, ball pit, bedroom or living room, and then some sort of battle arena, I think if you had those, you could get enough cosplayers to do it, given a large convention. I think you could. It wouldn't be difficult to set something like that up, maybe excepting the ball pit. You know what I meant.
I know, but I'm not going to say it.
That's why you have a staffer watching over it to make sure that those things don't happen in public.
Anyway, but I do think that it's one of those things where it's cool, it's fun, it's kitschy. The other thing you have to keep in mind is that if you don't have the right photographer who knows how to properly set up the sequence or light it properly, it can look really tacky. It can look really like a flat background. So that's the other thing too. Just a standard point and shoot camera from like mom and dad who doesn't know what they're doing, it's not going to look as cool as if you get a photographer who knows how to angle it. So that's an extra expense on top of for the cosplayer too. So hey, I don't expect it to go very far. The one thing that I've always appreciated Akon doing was they had their own special photo room where just a simple black backdrop. So groups could come in and just do their thing. And that for me was always fine. Minus the ghost bubbles because it was a black backdrop. But
it's effectively a portrait studio.
Yeah. And that was kind of cool. So if more conventions did stuff like that, I am totally all for it. I like the idea of just having a singular photo room that groups can come in and do their thing. And, you know, all is well. I don't think you need to have these fancy props and settings. Again, because mostly it's a cost thing. Most conventions really can't afford it. I mean, even in something like SDCC or NYCC, I mean, they don't have these type of things. It's just too much of a cost for them, and it's too much of a space issue for them. It's just not feasible.
They have less of a focus on cosplay. Anime Expo has a giant cosplay contingent.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably why, at the moment, they're pretty much the only people who do this.
Yeah.
So, at some point, Akon may do it. Just because they also have a very growing cosplay contingent. I don't know. But Otakon would be the next up in line, I would think, depending on space. We'll see.
Who knows?
It's a nifty idea.
It's a nifty idea.
Really nifty idea. All right. And with that, we are going to draw a close to this episode 92 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. You can, of course, reach us on all of our social media, which we will splatter across the screen here in front of you. Remember to get your recordings in for our 100th episode, audio or video. Please send those to podcast@cospod.org. Please remember to kindly rate us and review us on iTunes, as we sincerely do appreciate that. It helps us get out our reach. If you enjoy the show, please do share it with your fellow friends over social media. You are welcome to list us on fellow podcast sites if you wish to help us increase our reach as well. And you can point people to our YouTube channel, where we now have all of our Akon content up. All of our photos are up as well for those who would like to look at those. And of course, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, compliments, please feel free to send those to us again at podcast@cospod.org. With that, we will see you guys next episode in 93. Have a good one.
Bye, guys.